From the heart of the Forest City, focusing on the biggest stories in London, this is the Craig Needles Podcast. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It's the Craig Needles Podcast here at ClassicRock981.com, LondonNewsToday.ca, and wherever you get your podcast. Of course, the Craig Needles Podcast is powered by our friends over at the Covent Garden Market and downtown London. I want to set the record straight on something today. We got some news end of last week. Actually, it was sort of Friday, 2 weeks ago. And then going into last week, there was conversations about what's going to be going on at the London Public Library. And some branches aren't going to have Sunday hours now. Now, of course, that's always been the case. But the number of branches with Sunday hours might be reduced. And there seemed to be some dispute about that in the media and elsewhere about what happened with the budget and whether that was related to what was going on here. So I figured, who better to ask about this than Michael Ciccone, who, of course, is with the London Public Library. He's the head of things going on around there, and he's been kind enough to join us here on the Craig Needles Podcast. Michael, thank you for this. Glad that you could do it with us today.
Yeah, and thank you very much for having me, Craig.
So as chief librarian, obviously, there's a lot of tough things that come with that particular job. One of them being, hey, you've got to make a whole library system function, and here are the number of dollars you have within which to do it. You didn't get the number of dollars you wanted this year, and now we might be making some changes, or it appears that we very much are going to be making some changes to the amount of branches and the amount of time that we're going to be operating libraries on Sunday. So how did we get to that point? How did the Sunday hours conversation begin, and how do we get to the point we're at right now?
Okay, well, let me just start by saying that Sunday hours, basically we schedule 4 hours every Sunday at three branches, and those hours take place from January through April, and then after Thanksgiving through Christmas. So it was three branches, 4 hours each of those branches. I will say that opening library branches on Sunday, we consider a value-added service as not part of our core service structure. It does entail staff volunteering to work, and that staff are paid time and a half to do so per our collective bargaining agreement. So administrating the process is a bit labor-intensive, but we offer the service because it was highly valued by the community. And just unfortunately, we can no longer afford to do so. I think there have been other budget line reductions as a result of the 2024-27 budget. They're just not as obvious as this one was. And I will say just off the top that this is a bit of a mea culpa that we probably should have, definitely should have given the mayor's office a heads up on this before we went ahead and did this. We didn't. That's my fault. And I did have a discussion with the mayor last week and expressed that mea culpa to him. So, going forward, we'll be much more careful about any reductions that we're going to make and make sure that the city is well aware before we post it on our social media and it gets picked up by the media. But there are other reductions. They're mostly internal for 2024. But, you know, we appreciate that we were given an additional $330,000, but we still received $2.8 million less than we requested for 2024 and $12.5 million less over the 4 years. We did not request this money as a negotiation ploy. We determined that this is what we needed to maintain services, and now we have to adjust our services accordingly to meet the budget that we have. In 2024, we should be, as I refer to in past conversations and in the media, we should be okay for 2024, at least to keep the three branches open that we had talked about possibly closing. But we're not quite sure what we're going to do yet for 2025. We're having those discussions right now.
Well, we'll talk about that in just a minute, but I do want to read to you a piece that was in the London Free Press, and you're quoted in the piece, and your photo's in the piece, that the sub-headline was, after council granted the London Public Library a bump to their base budget this year, branch closings and less service hours are off the table for now, but not forever. So, and then your quote down here is, this is to the Free Press, we've gotten sort of a lifeline, as it were, to sit down as a board and talk about what it looks like after 2024, so we have been given the gift of time at least to look at those things. And I should say that might have been either you or Brian Gibson, just realizing now, the board chair. Either way, one of you said that. So clearly there are some people wondering, hey, we thought that we were all right for 2024 as far as our reduction goes, and that clearly isn't the case. So what's changed here is my question, because that piece is from February.
I don't really know if anything's changed so much as at that time, the conversation, and Brian and I did a number of media interviews at that time, and obviously we spoke in front of council and so on, but I can only speak for myself in saying that during that time period, everything seemed to be focused on those three branches. That was where the pressure was. And anything that I said, I thought I was referring to those three branches. I don't want to say that the quotes were taken out of context. That's not fair to the reporters. I may very well have said that. Brian may very well said it. But we also, and this is silly, I guess, in hindsight, but we also consider Sunday hours, that's not part of our core service hours. So, and it was a very, quick, easy reduction that we could find. It's not easy in the sense that we're taking service away, but it was low-hanging fruit in terms of reductions. So in hindsight, yes, I think that we probably, like I said, should have been a little bit more cognizant of the effect it would have in terms of our relationship with the city. But all I can say is that what my discussions were in February, for the most part, were about those three branches. And too honestly, I cannot remember exactly what I said to what question right during that time period.
And okay, that's fair enough. I don't know if you heard my podcast, not last weekend, not last Friday, I ran about the one before, but Steve Lehman, the counselor, was on, and he said that he was under the impression from what had happened at City Hall that the extra, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars would at least keep hours on track for the remainder of this year. That was the impression that he was under, but clear, like either he was mistaken or miscommunication somewhere or something along those lines happened. Is that what you're telling me here?
I know what I said at mm-hmm. the deliberations. It was the May 15th, the February 15th yep. deliberations. And I did go back. I just wanted to make sure I didn't say something like that. And what I said was pretty vague. It was, I said, I do think that with the boost and some other funding sources that we have at our disposal, we could probably manage this year and put a plan in place and have really solid information to share with the city in terms of justifying increases over the coming year. So at that particular time, at least to my recollection and what I saw with those deliberations, I never really referenced hours. And again, those conversations were primarily around those three branches. Mm-hmm. That's my response to Councillor Lehman. Again, if my words were misconstrued, I apologize for that. But sure. that is my recollection, and that is what I saw during the deliberations.
Okay, so unless there's an increased level of funding from somewhere, though, the Sunday hours decision is done, is dusted. There's really no other way around it other than we're not doing Sunday hours. Is that a fair way to characterize this?
At the very least for 2024, which I believe is what the board approved.
Okay. I want to ask you, so there's been a bit of a conversation as far as the number of dollars that council has put in the library, which is entirely fair. Council is the chief funder of the library. The number of dollars the province puts into our library system has not really changed in quite a long time, especially if you adjust for inflation. Is the province dropping the ball here? We're talking about successive governments, but has the province dropped the ball here in your estimation on funding here if London City Council also has?
Yeah, and I think that we, the library in Ontario, we advocate through two sources. One is the Ontario Libraries Association. One is the Federation of Ontario Public Libraries. We sort of coordinate our efforts through those two groups. And I'm actually part of the Government Relations Committee of the Federation, which we call FOPL, just to make it easier for
sure.
not having to say that over and over again. And we do advocate and we lobby MPPs and ministers to bring this to the attention that this amount has not risen in 30 years. And so they're very well aware of it. I don't know what the appetite is for increasing it, but every year we do advocate for a higher amount. So yes, I do think that there is some responsibility for the province to come through with some of this funding. And so I absolutely do not disagree with any of the councillors for saying that the province needs to step up. We advocated for other things from the province, and to their credit, they have come through with extra funding for First Nations libraries in Ontario, which is great news. We have a few other outstanding requests that we're waiting to hear on, including the PLOG, but the overall, you know, there is certainly a feeling that the province could be doing more.
Yeah, and I think that's I would say that the province could certainly be doing more.
Let's being as polite as possible.
Yeah, and I understand that you may have to be. I don't. So let's talk about these three branches that may be the branches that wind up getting closed here. We're going to keep them open for 2024, and this entire process you've been transparent in saying after 2024 we're going to have to wait and see. So I'm not going to ask you to predict what's going to happen, but just remind folks, what are the three branches that might be the ones that could experience some problems here, and why are those the three that we've circled here and said, hey, maybe those are branches that we may be able to close if we have to do so?
Well, the first and foremost is Glamorth, and that has been I was not in the City of London last time this happened, but I believe they did try to close it 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, I remember the story as well.
That did not go well.
No.
From what I understand. So, but that's the most obvious
and,
one.
And Glamorth, to be clear, is they're open Tuesday afternoons and Saturday mornings.
Yeah, right? They're open 4 hours
a
week.
Yeah.
Now, for the people who use that library, it's really important. It's
right.
Clear, and they send us letters of support, and we really appreciate what that means. And I think Glamorth, if I can tangent just a little bit, it just goes to show you what a library means, even to a small community, which makes the decision to close a branch really, really difficult. Because we know what it means to a community, even if it's even if it's only open 4 hours a week. But the other two branches that were mentioned were the Lambeth branch and the Carson branch. And both of those, you can look at certain things like the number of hours they're open. They are reduced hour branches. They're somewhat in proximity to other branches in the area. So those are decision-making points that we would bring to the table when discussing this, and all three have some future capital cost. But in general, the operating, running those branches operationally is not, I've heard a few people say that it's a drain on our system. It really isn't. It's not. It's less than $500,000 a year. So the decision-making would be really more about those future capital costs. But the other side of that is that I look at a branch like Lambeth, and is it really a question? I mean, I know that Councillor Cuddy talked about performance, and I don't think you can compare it to a business. I really don't. The performance is because the Lambeth branch is located in an area that's not very easy to find. If Lambeth were located in a better area, I'm sure it would be doing much better. And I would say that Carson, it means a lot to the neighborhood it's in, but it's well, right now there's a lot of construction, so it's not easy to get to. But in both cases, you know, libraries, it's hard to measure libraries in terms of the data, because if you put it in an ideal area, a mall like what we have with Cherry Hills, for example, it will be used, and it gets used heavily. So that's what we have to weigh when making these decisions. But, you know, on paper, those are the three that you can look at and say, okay, well, this is what we have to focus on. But we have, you know, we haven't really, you know, we've been doing some work. We've been kind of talking. The board's been talking. Staff have been talking. We still have some time, but not a lot. And I don't want to close any branches. I don't want to take away any hours. But this is the reality that we're facing in terms of, you know, the budget that we provided. And, you know, I will point out that, and I know that there was talk that we've gotten more than we've ever asked for, and we appreciate that. But we are one of the, in terms of comparing ourselves to public libraries of our size in Ontario, and these are 2022 statistics, we receive $64.50 per square foot in over operational support. And that's pretty low compared to other municipalities. Added to that is that most of what we do, we're on our own. We don't really have a lot of shared services from the city, and other libraries have significant shared services from the city. I mean, it varies from city to city. So those two things really add to the pressure on our budget and has built up over time. It's had a negative ripple effect on areas we've been unable to fund appropriately. That includes technology infrastructure, like pertinent software additions, upgrades, learning and development opportunities for staff, and general facilities maintenance. So all of this is just added up and accumulated. And now we asked for a big number for 2024, the 19.9%, but it was not done out of context. It was what we needed in order to move forward to give the same level of service.
So I have several questions about the things that you've just said. So we'll start with this. The city said that they put together some money from reserve funds for one-time costs like fixing roofs at branches and things along those lines. Those costs are going to be at branches that are not among the three that you were just talking about. We have not agreed to put money into, because you mentioned capital costs sort of being the issue with some of these branches. And I want to say, I very much agree with you that we should not be looking at library branch performance like it's some sort of business. And I very much want to acknowledge that we can't just have every single library branch in the city being a quote unquote high traffic area or a spot where a lot of people go, because there should be library branches all over the city, regardless of population density and what's going on. There should be close library branches for everybody. But back to my question, we've got some money carved out here from the city's reserve funds for capital projects for repairs at library buildings. Are those three branches on the list for where the repairs are going to be?
I should also go just rewind a little bit and say that to make the distinction between the operating and the capital, we got a significant increase, and we were very, very happy about that. Right. And the rest of what we asked for is pending our asset management plan, which should be completed or approved by our board in May. And I do think that there is certainly evidence that more there's support for more coming over the next 3 years. And we really appreciate what the mayor did there. And I think they recognize the need and very, very happy. It's really the operating that's the concern. That said, in terms of those three branches, to be honest, I don't have the details in front of me. I don't think there are immediate needs at any of those three branches, but there are some long-term needs.
Okay, fair enough. Then I want to ask about something else that you said, which is, hey, relative to other library systems in the province of Ontario, we are underfunded, in some cases significantly underfunded. I'm going to note that I've had the chair of the Police Services Board and the police chief on this podcast, and I've had the chair of the London Transit Commission on this podcast, and I heard very similar things from them as well. So this turned into a matter of, you know, everyone saying they're underfunded, right? So I guess that's part of the context that was going on here for council is, you know, maybe we've been underfunding these services for some time now, and this is the position we find ourselves in.
Yeah, no, I don't begrudge the police budget. I think they, just like us, we can understand they asked for what they needed. You know, fortunately for them, they had some protection for what they needed, and we did not.
Right.
But certainly, policing is very, very important to the city, and I understand that. And transit, there's no group that asked for money that I have any concern with the amount that they asked for. I think that we're all in this together. It just so happens that the police got what they asked for, and the rest of us didn't. And that's no fault of the police nor council, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, council figuring things out, and that's part of this. You mentioned that you had a chance to have a conversation with the mayor, and you've already acknowledged that, hey, he should not have found out about the Sunday hours thing from reporters. And he told CBC that the strain between the city and library leadership is unnecessary. That was the word that he's used. And that was before your conversation that he told CBC that. Has anything been done sort of bridge that gap? How would you characterize the conversation that you had with Josh Morgan?
I think it was very productive. I think we talked about other possibilities in terms of funding. I did talk to him about the shared services, but I do the letter that the four organizations sent to the city, shared services was one of the things that we wanted to talk to the city about. It's very important for the city to understand that, you know, we're on our own for a lot of this. We have our own financial system. We have our own HR system. It just, in some ways, doesn't make any sense whatsoever that we're we're double purchasing in some ways. So, I mean, that's just a simple example, but that's really important. So we did talk, I did talk to the mayor about that. Actually, it was myself and the board chair, Brian. We also talked about growth assessment, and it's an area that the mayor would like to talk more about with us. We've had little success in the past, and I think that he's looking for ways that we can have more success. So there was, I think he's talked about that in the public as well for other organizations. So it was a good conversation, and I'm glad we had it. And I agree, things got a little bit strained. I think there was our advocacy. We did advocate, and I think that. It wasn't always received well, and I do think there were some hurt feelings, and I do think that we were upset that we didn't quite get the budget that we wanted to, and there was a lot of back and forth at that time, but it was also a very stressful situation for everybody, I'm sure. So I think it's really a question of looking forward and seeing how we can work together to try to avoid the closures or any of the service reductions that we're talking about.
So what does that process look like then? How do we try to avoid these things? Again, you're telling us that dollars is going to be the only way to necessarily solve this problem. So therefore, let's see what we can do about dollars here. When you talk to the mayor and you look to 2025 and beyond, what was that vision like? Or what sort of ideals and goals were discussed between the two sides?
I think we didn't get that far, to be honest.
Okay.
I think we have decided to meet again in the future, and that's very encouraging. And in answer to the first part of your question, mm-hmm. I don't know. I said we are in a hole. There's some things we can hope for. We can hope that the health and homelessness plan, the rise in patrols, policing in the city, will help with our security at our central library, because we don't have a choice but to purchase that security, because we have an obligation under the Occupational Health and Safety Act to protect our staff. So we don't have a choice. If we need more money to protect them, we will have to. So there's a lot of fixed costs that we can't really do much about. That one can only hope those fixed costs start to reduce as time goes by, as inflation goes down, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, there's clearly a hope that that might be the case, and clearly we're going to have to wait and see on some of these issues, Michael. So for folks who are big fans of the branches that we've been talking about today that could hypothetically be closed depending on how this goes. So say they live on or near Quebec Street and they're thinking about Carson, live out in Glanworth, or there's someone who lives in Lambeth and they're really hoping their branch stays open. What would you say to those people who are wondering about this right now?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank them all and all the public that supported us through this process. And we had a lot of support and we really appreciate it. We've received their emails. I'm sure that the counselors have as well. I think that they just need to know that we're fighting as hard as we can to keep those branches open and feasible. I've been talking to the counselors in those areas, or at least plan to talk to them. I have meetings scheduled, as it were, and I just think we will do everything we can to keep those branches open. That's the best I can say at this point. And if that means working with City Council to do so, then by all means, we will do everything we can. I'm just repeating myself now, but I said earlier we don't want to cut services. We don't want to close branches. That's just not something that makes sense in a city that's growing in the way that London's growing. So I just hope that we can find ways to keep those branches open, whether that means that we just change some things internally in order to make that happen, combined with some extra funding that we might get. It remains to be seen. There's a lot of variables out there right now.
Yeah, and again, this isn't on you to figure out. Your job is to advocate for the library, but I think that there are going to be some awkward conversations in some of these neighborhoods if branches wind up closing here. Because people like their library branches. They like to have a library branch they can walk to. They like to have there's a lot of things they like about that. And again, you know, Glanworth is not open a ton, and there aren't a lot of people who can walk to the Glanworth branch. Carson and Lambeth are different conversations. But just, you know, they're key integral parts of neighborhoods, and I don't want to see neighborhoods losing that. You know, Sunday service is one thing in Masonville, as an example. Like, that, nobody necessarily wants to lose that, but that's a different conversation, at least for me, than losing a branch entirely. I suspect you feel the same way.
No, absolutely, and I think it's been proven time and time again that libraries, beyond all that, beyond the third place aspect of it, and everything that libraries provide to a community, they're also an economic driver. You know, we produced an economic impact study that we shared with council. All councilors got a copy of it that says that we bring $6.48 to the community for every dollar that we spend. And I'm not sure if you saw it, but there was a report from the Canadian Urban Institute about libraries. It's called Overdue, the Case for Canada's Public Libraries. And it talked vehemently about the need for not only like funding at the municipal and provincial level, but also at the federal level to support libraries. It just says, the quote says, libraries are essential to Canada's value proposition of an inclusive and prosperous country. So there is a lot of evidence out there about the power of libraries, even beyond that community space aspect of it, the books, the digital materials and everything else. To look at the possibility of closing is counteractive to that that evidence.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think so as well. So
I think I'm preaching to the converted.
Yeah, you and I would very much agree on that. Last thing, we talked about a little bit earlier, but I wanted to get some clarification here. We talked about these capital expenses, and during the budget process, and I think this is where kind of a lot of the negativity came from, and I know some councillors didn't sort of like some of the framing that was done sort of by, I don't even know if necessarily by you, but at least by the board. You know, there were some library branches where there were some badly needed capital projects that had to happen. We're talking about leaky roofs and things along those lines. And that got into the budget conversations, and there was dispute about should this come from which source of funding and whatever. We don't need to rehash that. However, a number of dollars they've given you from reserve funding, which to me, fixing a leaky library roof is why you have reserve funding. Is that going to be enough to cover the immediate pressing capital needs the London Public Library has?
On the whole, I'd say yes. I think that the issues that we're talking about, that, I mean, we had a, as part of the asset management process, we had an assessment done in late 2021 that put a priority on some of the roofing, some electrical, some other areas. And now, mind you, it's mostly maintenance. It's not renovation. It's not creating so many of the beautiful spaces I've seen in other library systems. But at the same time, it will make our infrastructure more solid. And again, the mayor did promise as part of that, that once our asset management plan was done, we'd revisit 25 through 27. So the city, we procured the city process. Better way of putting that, but the city provided the service in order to create our asset management plan, as most they did with most of the ABCs, and they were great. They were wonderful to work with, and I think the asset management plan that they come up with is very fair assessment of our needs, and I'm confident that the city will respond accordingly with future capital investment. So that's you know, I think we're feeling much better in that area. I think we got our point across very well there. And again, we had mounds of evidence to support it. So, and just going back to it, it's really the operational side that's the issue.
Right. So we figured out, like, no one has to worry about the roof caving in at the library their next visit, is what you're telling me.
Well, until we get it fixed. But no, you know, we do. I mean, I can point to this as just an infrastructure issue. Like, we need to find somebody to help us manage we have gaps in our infrastructure in our staffing model and so on mm-hmm. and so forth that we've not been able to fill. And one of those is a capitals project, somebody to run our capital project. So we have to go out and find somebody to do that for us, which is another operational pressure. That's just an example of some of the things that we're facing on the operational side. And the other one, just to put it out there, is that, as you may know, the it used to be that you'd buy a version of Windows or Outlook or Microsoft Office and plop it on a server, and it would last 6 or 7 years. We can't do that anymore. Everything is cloud-based, and everything is subscription-based, and that moves the expense from capital to operating, and that's another issue that we're facing, and I think a lot of organizations are facing right now, and we're struggling to keep up with that as well. I don't know why, I just felt like I needed to get that one in.
No, that's fair. And I want to get one more thing in too. That cyber attack that we heard about, I want to say it was back in December. Mm-hmm. I've been asking around about that, sort of where are we at on that? And are we fully recovered from that? Still mostly recovered from that? Where's the library post cyber attack here in April, sort of 5 months later?
The only thing that we haven't done is reposted our website. Right. We've had a few issues there. Some of that's internal, but some of that had to do with the cyber attack itself. So that's it. That should be up by the end of the month, and we should be good. It was certainly a lesson. It's certainly, I hope, something I hope nobody has to go through. It was very weird. It was like opening, like going into a portal and opening, like just walking into a different world that you didn't know existed. But I will say also, just a shout out that the city staff came over once we found out about it, and they were tremendous in helping us. Just gave us a path to follow, and we followed it, and it worked really well. But you know, we recovered pretty quickly. We were very lucky. We're not as big as Toronto, and I think Toronto just by their pure size had a lot more to deal with. But I was very proud of how our IT people managed it, very proud of our staff. We all came together and we got through it. And, you know, we are almost fully back where we were before.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good to know. Well, Michael, thank you so much for this. Anything else that you wanted to make sure that the folks listening to us know about before we wrap up this conversation here?
No, I think I really appreciate you giving me the time to speak. I appreciate your feelings on libraries, I think, are really, I think, I enjoy your podcast, and I do believe that what you say about libraries is spot on in terms of what their needs, what the community needs from its library and how important it is to the community. So I really appreciate that. But so you say it for me all the time, and I don't really have to.
Well, I'm glad that somebody likes me. Every now and then there are people that get mad at me. Would you believe that?
Well, I'm sure you'll say something in the future that won't make me happy. But
okay, good.
For now.
For this week, we're cool. All right, Michael, this was awesome. Thank you so much for doing it with me. I'm glad that we could set the record straight in here and have a good conversation.
Okay, great. Thank you.
That's Michael Ciccone, who, of course, is the head librarian over at the London Public Library. And that was another episode of the Craig Needles Podcast, which you can find at londonnewstoday.ca, classicrock981.com, and wherever you get your podcasts. The Craig Needles Podcast is powered by the Covent Garden Market and downtown London.
The Craig Needles Podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.